Reddy is relentless. Reddy is fearless. Reddy is fearing no foe. Ready for the next level? Renew your season ticket now and support Rangers into season 2021. Prices are frozen for next season and the renewals deadline is extended. Visit rangers.co.uk/renew to secure your season ticket today. Always Rangers, always loyal.
Jones delivers.
Manchester, brace yourself.
Rangers! Oh, fancy this very strong. Again, I've got the battle fever on, but I fancy Rangers to win this.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Battle Fever podcast. My name is Scott Gray, and today we kick off our Yesterday's Heroes series with a Rangers and Spurs legend. He won the 1980-81, 81-82 FA Cup, and the 1983 and 84 UEFA Cup with Spurs before joining Rangers in December 1986, where he won the 1986-87 Scottish Premier Division and the 1987-88 Scottish League Cup. He is Mr. Graham Roberts. Good afternoon, Graham, and welcome to the podcast.
Good afternoon, Scott. You okay?
Not bad, yourself?
Yeah, good, man. Yeah,
good.
You staying safe?
Yeah, what about yourself, staying in?
Yeah, staying in and doing what you got to do. I think we're different down here at the moment. We've come out of lockout. Well, not lockout, but I've just looked online at the moment on social media and seen about 300 people getting off a bus. So
it's madness. It is madness.
I think people, you know, when he came out on Sunday and he said that, you know, we'll release a little bit, I think he's done wrong, personally. Because people now, there's more cars on the road, there's more people walking next to each other, and you know, there's going to be a lot of problems coming, I think.
Graham, it's the same up here. Even though Nicola Sturgeon's technically staying in, or said Scotland's staying in, there's still people taking the advice from Boris, and it's the same up here. You know, it's madness. Common sense has to take place, I think.
You have to be sensible and, you know, it's people's lives. And, you know, I went into Marks and Spencer's the other day and queued up. And when I got inside, there was like 40 people. And I went,
mad.
I came back out. I just turned around and came back out. I said, I'm not going in there.
So, it's mad.
It is the mad world at the moment.
We'll talk a wee bit, obviously predominantly a Rangers podcast, so we're going to talk about your time at Rangers. But we'll touch on, obviously, before you joined Rangers. So you spent 6 years at Spurs. Winning two FA Cups, as we said, and the UEFA Cup. How was that for you, obviously? Because that's a successful time, you know, in that era.
Yeah, it was when I joined in 1980. I left in December 86, so it was nearly 7 years. You know, it was a transitional period for Tottenham. They had some older players when I joined. And then the manager decided, he brought in Osvaldo Ardiles in 78 with Ricky Villa. And then Tony Galvin came in 78. And then sort of he was in the reserves. And then he just decided he wanted to go with a bit of youth. And I was brought in 1980 along with Garth Crooks and Stevie Archibald. And within 3 months, I was in the first team, and I came from non-league football, and it was just, you know, let's push on and see where we go. And the first year, we won the FA Cup, which was a fantastic achievement for us.
Yeah.
And then the second year, we won the FA Cup again, and we were starting to get better and better, and we brought other players in. Alan Brazil came in from the other side, the Glasgow. he came in from Ipswich. And then, you know, Paul Price came from Luton, who was a captain of Wales. And we got to the League Cup final in 82 as well. We lost to Liverpool after extra time. We got to the semi-final of the Cup Winners' Cup in Barcelona. We got cheated out of that, actually. And we just started to improve. And then the following year, we should have won the league. We came, I think we came second or third. And then we won the UEFA Cup in 84. And then the chairman, the new chairman came in, Irving Scholar, and he decided that he wanted to buy the players and get rid of our manager, who's been really successful. And it just went downhill from there, really.
How did you find...
Sorry, on you go. I was just, you know, I suppose, I think everybody was disillusioned. You know, when you lose a manager that's won three trophies, lost the League Cup final, won two Charity Shield. So he really won 5-6 trophies, and all of a sudden you get a new chairman, Irving Scholar, who thinks he knows more than anybody, and he wanted to buy the players, and he just wanted a coach to coach him, which was an absolute ridiculous situation, really.
How did you find the step up, Graham, for, obviously you said, non-league football to join that club like Spurs, which is obviously a massive club?
Well, when I first went in, I was lucky, really, because it was the end of the season. And then I came back and done a really hard pre-season. And sort of just got in with it, really. And, you know, I was in the reserves. The reserves were top of the league. I was playing in midfield at the time. And then sort of got into the squad. But in them days, there was only one substitution. You know, so one substitute. So it wasn't 7-8 on the bench. It was just one, and you had to fight your corner to get on that in that squad or in that on that bench. And yeah, so I worked hard. I used to go back in the afternoons and work with Peter Shreves, and then I got my lucky break. And you know, I got in. We played Arsenal in the League Cup. I was on the bench, came on, did okay. Then we played Stoke away. And I came on again, and then I think it was November or December 1980 that we played Liverpool away, and Terry Yorath broke his fingers. Well, I actually pushed him against the wall in training. He broke his fingers, and I took his place on the Saturday and played right back, and kept my place all the time then.
Did you mean that then?
Well, you always mean things when you're in training. You just want to win. And it was accident, actually. We both ran towards the wall. We played in the gym on the Friday. And he got there first, and I just lent my hand out, and he pushed his fingers against the wall and broke four fingers. So
moving on
some
a bit.
Some way to get into the team, isn't it?
Hey, listen, hook up a crook. You got there and you stayed there. you moved to Rangers in 1986, December 1986. When did you first kind of hear about Rangers' interest? When did the move kind of materialise?
Well, it was in David Pleat took over in May 86. And his first phone call to me was, you're not my type of player. Soon as I get an offer, you're being sold. And I worked hard all through the summer, played in midfield with Ozzy Ardiles, Glenn Hoddle and Chris Waddle and Paul Allen. And he just couldn't get me out of the team. And I was happy at Tottenham. I loved it there. And then we played, I came up and watched the League Cup final when we beat Celtic. Rangers beat Celtic 2-1. Terry Butcher played, and he was captain. And on the way back, I sat next to Graham Souness's brother-in-law on the flight back, and we just got chatted. I said, he asked me what was happening, and I just said, look, I'm up for sale, but I'm enjoying the football at the moment. And he must have told Graham, and then I got a phone call 3 days later asking me would I be interested to come to Rangers, and I said yeah. And then all of a sudden, that was in September, October, I think it was. And then they made three offers. He turned down the first two. And then in December, I think it was December the 15th or 18th, something like that, he made an offer. And I got a phone call from David Pleat at 5 o'clock in the morning. We were playing Chelsea on that day. And David Pleat rang me and said, you've been sold, we don't want you, you know, you can go. And that was it. And I went up to Rangers, spoke to Graham, took 5 minutes to sign the forms, and that was it, history.
Their loss was Rangers' gain, I would say. Anyway, you played you made your debut at Ibrox against Dundee United in a 2-0 win. Goals with Ali McCoist and Robert Fleck. We were sitting fourth when you came in, I think I'm right in saying that. And
something like
that. Watching on YouTube anyway, the ovation that you got for the Rangers supporters when you made your debut was quite kind of something. How did it feel for yourself to pull on that blue jersey and run out of Ibrox?
Oh, it's amazing. You know, I love the club. I love there's clubs in my life that I play for, but Rangers and Tottenham are right at the top. You know, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't have left Tottenham. If David Bleat hadn't been there, I wouldn't have left them because I had a good contract. But when I came to Ibrox and that day I ran out on that pitch, it was amazing. The noise, and I was involved in both goals. So, you know, it just made it even better, really, against Dundee United. And then, you know, 4 days later or 3 days later, we're playing Celtic at Ibrox, and we beat them 2-0 as well. And we just started to improve then. And then all of a sudden, once we caught them, there was only one team going to win the league.
I was reading up, and I believe, I think it's in your book as well, and I believe that you had an altercation with the Celtic supporters.
Always. I still do now. No. Well, after the game, because I was living in a hotel, and my mate came up with his wife and my little girl and my wife, and we went out for something to eat afterwards, after the game, and just went to a local restaurant in the city, and we got in, ordered a drink, and as we were drinking it, the waiter came over, the maitre d', he said, Mr. Roberts, do you mind leaving? He said, because we've got a few Celtic supporters in here, and, you know, they don't want to be in here when you're in here. And I said, well, tell them to go then. I said a bit more, worse. So all of a sudden, they went out, they all left, and there must have been 15 of them, 20. And we had our meal, drink, and then sort of went out. My mate went and got the car, and when we got in the car, they all came round it and started pushing it, started to tip it over. Anyway, we got away, but that was one of many.
You scored your first Rangers goal a week later in a 1-0 win away to Motherwell. What is your memories of that game and scoring your first goal?
It was an amazing goal. I scored from 40 yards. Well, the game was called off on New Year's Day. And because we played Celtic just before New Year's. And we went to Motherwell and the pitch was icy, so they called it off and we played the following Tuesday. And I remember picking the ball up about 30 yards inside my own half, and I ran to the halfway line, and just over the halfway line, I thought, well, I'll have a shot. And everybody just looked at me, and I would just hit this ball, and it just flew into the bottom corner of the net, and it was amazing goal. And you know, it's a pity it wasn't on TV, because it might have won goal of the season.
Obviously at that time, when Souness had came in, expectations that Rangers were heightened majorly, you know, that obviously the pressure on that team, considering we hadn't won the league in so many years, could you feel that pressure building week to week then?
Well, I never ever worried about pressure. I wasn't a nervous sort of person. But I knew when I joined that we had a team good enough to win the league. Otherwise, what's the use of joining a team that you're not going to win the league? You always had that belief in you. And the manager was brilliant. He always had that feeling as well. And I think we went, if I'm getting me right, about 1,190-odd minutes without conceding a goal. Well, if you sew up your defence and you don't give goals away, then you're gonna have a good chance to win games. So, because we had great forwards, We had the magician in Davy Cooper. You know, the gaffer was playing midfield. We had probably one of the best players. If he hadn't got injured, probably would have been one of the greatest players was Ian Dren. And, you know, so those players we had in the team, we knew we had a good side. And it was just about making sure that we never give sloppy goals away. I think we gave one away, and that was against Hamilton, and we lost in the cup. Other than that, I think we went 1,100 minutes without conceding the goal, and we pushed on then, and Celtic couldn't live with us.
Going back a wee bit to that Old Firm game, I mean, obviously it was your Old Firm debut, and watching the highlights of it, yourself, Graham Souness, David Cooper, Ali McCoy, it just seemed to be that there was just Celtic couldn't live with us that day. You know what I mean? With guys like yourself and who I've mentioned there on top of their game like that. How good a feeling does that give yourself, obviously knowing that on the field that day there isn't anybody really that could touch you?
Yeah, well, that's why Graham bought me. It was to sort of, you know, to give a bit of steel into the team. I played with Terry in England for the England national team. So we knew each other inside out. We had a great goalkeeper behind us. But it's about getting an understanding all together. And, you know, everybody, as soon as we went on that pitch, especially at home, we knew we wouldn't get beat. We knew we were good enough to win every game. And I think if you got that in that steel inside you, and you got that in, you know, in the team, then you're going to win most games. And you know, that's what he did. And you know, on that day, we never ever felt we were going to lose the game. We went 2-0 up. We could have scored 3 or 4, which we should have really, but we missed chances. But you know, once we got the 2 goals, that was it. We were comfortable.
Yeah, you touched on the Hamilton game, obviously the defeat in the cup. What is your memories of that game? Because obviously Rangers absolutely dominated them and just never put the ball in the back of the net. Also, after that, I'd read up, kind of heard about Souness sticking his foot through the TV in the changing room.
TV, yeah, he wasn't happy.
what is your memories of that?
Well, it was, you know, everybody was disappointed because we felt we could have done the treble. You know, they'd already done the League Cup. We felt we could have gone all the way in the Scottish Cup as well. But, you know, cup games are one-offs. I think we could have played for the next 2 weeks. We still wouldn't have scored after that. You know, it was, I think we had about 45, 50 shots at goal. And then ball wouldn't go in the net. And it was, you know, it was an amazing game. It was like, and the gaffer was disappointed. But on the Monday morning, he picked us up. We had another league game to go. And we went on with it.
Yeah. We then went unbeaten domestically until a 3-1 defeat to Celtic at Parkhead. Does a defeat like that, despite the fact that you're in good form, despite the fact that obviously we were the dominant team in the country, or certainly on our way to becoming the dominant team in the country, does that just make you more determined as a player to clinch that title and show and basically get something to show for your
dominance? Well, I think it gave Celtic hope because we didn't play okay, but we didn't play as well as we had. And it just opened it up a bit for them. And, you know, and sort of we just had to get our minds right again and go again. And we did. And, you know, I think sometimes it gives you a kick up the backside when you take it for granted you're going to win every game. So it just brings you back down to earth, really.
It's that test of character that probably keeps you going a wee bit. And probably where we've been found wanting in recent seasons is when we've had that wee defeat after being in a good run. We've not necessarily responded well to it.
No. Well, I think now what's happening is you have a break. We didn't have a break then.
Yeah.
But you have a break now, and I think Rangers go the opposite way after that break. You know, they just don't. They're better off just playing, and it gives you that momentum. Mm-hmm. When you have a break for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is, or a month, whatever, all of a sudden you get a bit lackadaisical, and you know. The manager, I feel sorry for him, really, because when you've got a team doing really well and they were top of the league, all of a sudden, you know, you've got 7, 8, 9, 10 points behind again. And it doesn't help you. So, you know, the momentum keeps you going. And, you know, when you have a break, sometimes it disrupts players. Yeah.
Loyalty to Rangers is what binds us. And together, we are stronger. Launching for the 2021 season, the MyJers membership program is a new way to get even closer to the club you love. It's the one place where you can access benefits like ticketing priority, club discounts, and exclusive competitions and experiences. There's even a limited edition welcome gift when you join. Visit rangers.co.uk/myjers to join today. Always Rangers, always loyal, always rewarded.
The title was clinched away to Aberdeen in the 2nd of May in a 1-1 draw. Terry Butcher scoring the goal for us. Falkirk beat Celtic that day 2-1 as well, which obviously helped towards us clinching the title.
Yeah, what happened, Graham, before the game, the gaffer said to us, look, go out, just play your normal game, we'll get the result, because we still had another game to go. We needed a win out of the two games to win the league. It didn't matter what Celtic did. If we won one game out of two, then we would win the league. And we had St Mirren at home the following week, which we knew would be a difficult game because they would come and get everybody behind the ball and like they usually do. So we went to Aberdeen and he said, like, you know, don't lose your heads. Just get out there, play your game. And after 20 minutes, he got sent off. So that didn't help. So anyway, Terry scored a great goal, great header. And then they went down the other end about 5 minutes before half-time and equalised. And then the second half, we played with 10 men. We played sensibly. We held out, and then about a minute from the end of the game, we heard all the Rangers fans singing, and that Celtic had got beat at home to Falkirk at 2-1, and then the party started. And the referee waited till he was right near the corner flag before he blew the whistle, and he blew the whistle, and just every Rangers fan in the stadium just ran on the pitch, and it was fantastic, and like ripping shirts off your shorts. Anyway, we got back in the dressing room and then we got dressed again and we came back out, and there must have been 8,000-10,000 Rangers fans outside the ground, and all the Aberdeen fans had gone and they let the Rangers fans in. So it was a brilliant afternoon. Brilliant afternoon.
Fantastic. What did that title win mean to you personally?
Oh, listen, I played in, I don't know, 5-6 cup finals. Never lost one. I played for Chelsea. I won the league. I played for Rangers. I won the league. And I won the League Cup. So it means everything. You know, winning, it means everything. You know, people can have all this money in the world, but when they grow up and they say to their kids, oh, Dad, or the kids say to them, what did you win, Dad, playing football? I don't know, but I was on 100 grand a week.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I've got medals. I've got, you know, people say, well, you were probably a bit lucky. You played in good teams. Yeah, but I still felt I was a good player. You know, managers don't buy bad players, do they?
No.
So, you know, they at least they think you've got something in them. And I was just fortunate enough that I won all those trophies. And, you know, it's the greatest achievement ever. You know, to come in for the last 6 months of that season to win the league after being 4-6 points behind and whatever it was a great feeling. And we had a great party, and then we celebrated the following week against St Mirren, and that was even better.
Yeah. What was life like in the dressing room with guys like Alan McCoist, Ian Durant, and David Cooper?
Yeah, they were all sort of the characters. In a football team, you have to have characters. You have to have different characters. And, you know, and I think Graham bought us, myself, Terry, Chris Woods, you know, and he bought us into, because we were winners. You know, we didn't like losing. And we had that mentality. But we also had a bit of fun. You know, we had a bit of fun and you know, the gaffer offered me a new contract on the way back from Aberdeen, which I signed. And yeah, you know, in the dressing room, you had a bit of fun with McCoist and Durant, and you know, and you used to have the Scots play the English, or the players that have played in England. on a Friday and used to be like World War Two. No, there was no, I would take it easy. No, the, like the English lads and the people that played in the English league wanted to win as much as the Scottish lads. And we should, but that was the competitiveness that we had in the team. And you took that onto the pitch on the weekends.
Yeah. So saying, isn't it, you train the way you play.
Yeah. That's, listen, I've always said that. Even when I became coach and, you know, I said to players, you know, if you don't train that you're going to play on a Saturday, then you're letting yourself down. Mm-hmm. Because that gives you the momentum to carry through all week. And so, you know, hopefully they learn from it.
Yeah. What was life like to play under guys like Graeme Souness and Walter Smith as his assistant? How did, obviously with yourself playing for England and stuff like that, how did they compare to the top coaches that you'd worked under?
As good, yeah. I had a great manager in Keith Berkenshaw. Peter Shreves was a great coach. Walter was a fantastic coach, fantastic man manager. Graham, when he played, left it to Walter. And when Graham was on the side, you know, Graham used to show his feelings. He was a winner. He didn't want players on that pitch not giving 100%. And at the end of it, you know, what he used to say was, I don't want you to give any more than what I give on the pitch. And he gave everything. So, you know, that's all he wanted off of players. And the players responded to that. And I think the ones that were there when he took over and they weren't so good, he got rid of. And he brought in players that wanted to play for the jersey and wanted to win trophies. And that's the way he is. You know, everybody knows that I fell out with him, but it was over a stupid incident. And we're good friends. You know, now I speak to him and we're all good pals. That's football. That happens in football. You know, and at the end of it, he wanted to bring in Gary Stevens and Trevor Stevens, and he needed money. Well, you know, the only thing I ever said to him was, I wish you'd have just come out and told me, and then we could have had a discussion and done things like that. I don't, you know, you don't need to always try to ruffle people up and get rid of them that way.
Yeah.
And we're good friends now. Yeah, we're good friends.
We started season 1987-88, we won 1-5 in the league. Obviously, given the fact that we'd come off the back of winning a league championship, just how was that start kind of perceived amongst the support, amongst the media in Scotland, where it's a frenzy at the best of times?
Well, we didn't start off pre-season too well. We went to Zurich and Switzerland, and our first game we got beat 5-0. But they were ready to start their season. We wasn't. And I think the bottom line of it was that, you know, maybe teams were going to make it very difficult for us that second year. Richard Gough came in. Terry Butcher broke his leg, I think, in September, October, something like that, just before the League Cup. Oh, no, they got sent off, didn't they, before that? And then we won the League Cup. And then we started to pick up again. And then Terry broke his shin. And, you know, it just put... It gave us a setback, really. And we were always trying to catch up with Celtic after that.
Yeah. Going on the Celtic game, obviously, the Old Firm game, we were obviously 2-0 down. We managed to get it back. We got two each. Obviously, an action-packed game. If you start to finish,
more than one, to say the least.
What are your memories of that game? Do you have any regrets for that game?
No, I don't. I don't have one regret. I never have one regret on anything I've ever done in football. I think, you know, Chris getting sent off, McAvaney getting sent off, me going in goal. I never touched the ball and I picked the ball out of the net twice.
Yeah.
We were on top. We went in at half time 2-0 down, which we shouldn't have been, but that's what Terry own goal just before half time, Terry Butcher. So, you know, it was a strange, when we went in there, the gaffer was brilliant. He just, you know, he said, look, come on, we're down to 10 men, they're down to 10 men, our fitness will tell. We got the home crowd, we got 40,000, 50,000 people here supporting us. Give them something to cheer and they'll get behind you. And, you know, so we went back out and we scored early on, McCoist, and it gave us a lift. And then, you know, the noise when Richard Gough got it the last kick of the game, last minute, was amazing. You know, and everybody was celebrating. I was by myself in the goal. And they kicked off and the ball came back to me. I got the ball and he kneed me in my thigh, which I went down. I shouldn't have really, but I went down just to waste time really. And I got up and I just heard this singing and I thought, oh, I enjoyed that. So I started waving the arms and I looked at all the players and the players were looking at me going, what the heck are you doing? But the noise was so loud and the song was so good that I just enjoyed myself. And yeah, people say, do you regret it? No, I don't. Not at all. In the football, it's part and parcel of football. Sometimes you do silly things and people say it's silly. I don't think it was. I thought I enjoyed it. So
yeah,
that's the main thing.
What annoys me about incidents like that is guys like yourself, whenever people mention Graham Roberts or people say, oh, conducting the choir, but to be quite honest with you, Graham Roberts won a league championship, Graham Roberts won a league cup, Graham Roberts was part of a team that went to the quarterfinal of the European Cup.
We should have got to the final of that. We gave a sloppy goal away at home and they went 3-0 up. We played them and lost 2-0 Stour away. And the gaffer gave 2 goals away that night. And, you know, when we played at home, Adji went through in the first minute and scored. But we beat them 3-1. And we went out on away goals. And they went on and won the final, didn't they? So, you know, we were as good as them. Maybe better. But we just didn't have the luck of the draw.
Yeah. Obviously, we had success in the League Cup. We beat Stirling Albion, Dunfermline, Hearts and Motherwell on our way to the final against Aberdeen in what was another absolutely action-packed final. A great game.
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was a great game. I saw it the other night, actually. It was on... Somebody put it on Facebook and I showed you about 40 minutes of it. It was really good. Really good.
What were your memories of the game over the you know, the 90 minutes?
Terry and Chris were suspended, weren't they? So, Nicky Walker came in goal. I was made captain. It was end-to-end stuff. They were a good side, Aberdeen, at the time. We never underestimated them. I have a good story, actually. We got back. I think we were 3-1 down or 3-2 down? And I headed the ball down, and I remember, I think it was either Drant or Flex scored the equaliser, 3-3. Went into extra time and penalties. And we won, and it was an amazing game. David Cooper was amazing on the day. Yeah. He's brilliant. Scored a great goal. Anyway, a few years later, I went to Chelsea, and my room partner was Peter Nicholas, who was playing for Aberdeen at that time. He moved to Chelsea as well.
Yeah.
And he was telling me a story. He said, when they got back on the bus, the Aberdeen players, at the end of the game, going home, he was the last one to get on the bus. And Alex McLeish stood up, started clapping and said, and here's the fella, Peter Nicholas, who cost us the cup. He missed the penalty.
Fantastic. Bet you felt good.
He said, I didn't know what to do.
You left Ibrox in August 1988. Obviously, you've touched on it. Controversial circumstances after a fallout with the manager, yeah. Graham Souness. You've said yourself, you're obviously two of you have discussed things and you're obviously good mates now. What were your feelings at the time? And how long did it take? Can I go over what happened between yourself?
It was the last game of the season at home. They had one to go at Falkirk away. Mm-hmm. But the home game, they sort of... We drew 1-1 with Aberdeen and Bomber was centre-half with me And he came off with a hamstring about 20 minutes to go, and Scott Nisbet came on. And I said to Scott at the time, just pick up Brian Irvin from corners. Last minute, Brian Irvin scores a header from a corner. So we go in, sit down, and I'm sat next to Scott, and the gaffer's raging. And I said, don't say nothing. So anyway, he's effing and blinding and all this, and we got beat, and we haven't won the league. And he started ranting and raving, and my head was down. I was just looking down at the floor. And I said to Scott, don't answer back to him. He said, he's talking to you. So I looked up and just said a word beginning with B and ends with S. And he said, well, that you're going to call me that. He said, that's your last game you'll ever play for Rangers. And that was it. And from there, I went to the game the following week, and he wasn't happy about that. He said I should have kept away. But I was part of Rangers Football Club, and I wanted to go.
Yep.
And there was a demonstration, wasn't there, at Falkirk. And then we had the end of the season. And then I came back pre-season, and I was told not to come into training. I would have to come in at 6 o'clock at night and train by myself, which I did. I ran around the track, and I was there till 8 o'clock at night every night. And then I went and saw him, and I said, look, Gaffer, I need to play. Nobody's going to buy me if I'm not fit.
Yeah.
So I need to train. So anyway, I still was training by myself, and they sent me to Fort William with the reserves. Mm-hmm. And we had three people on the bench, subs and me. And we had Peter McCloy and Jimmy Nicol. And we played one game on the Friday, and we had another game on the Sunday. And on the Friday, the lads had a couple of beers like they did afterwards. We went back to the hotel, and they said, look, on the Sunday, three of us will pull up with hamstrings or groins. Mm-hmm. So at least you get a game. So 20 minutes, 30 minutes into the game, one pulled up, two pulled up. So the two subs went on. There was me left with Jimmy Nichols and Peter McCloy. And the other lad goes, somebody else goes down injured. So Peter McCloy looks at Jimmy Nichols and says, what are we doing? So Jimmy Nichols went in and got changed, and he went on the pitch. He was a coach at the time, manager. He went and got changed and went on the pitch. And then another injury. The lads were just winding them up now. We were about 5-0 up. And Peter McCloy went in and got chains and went on the pitch, and I was still left on the bench. Oh, no. Yeah, somebody else got injured, and they played with 10 men.
That's mad.
He was told not to play me. So what can you do? You just got to get on with it.
See, nowadays as well, if that happened, you would more likely cause a dressing room revolt.
Yeah, it would never happen, would it?
Yeah.
But the gaffer was the gaffer, and that's the way him and Walter wanted to deal with it. And that was fine. We got back on the Monday, and on the following Wednesday, we went to Lancaster in Manchester, near there. And I was sub again. I still never got on. And then I just travelled all around Scotland and England playing, watching games. So my mate came, and I went home with him in the car, and then I got back the next day, went in the training at 6 o'clock, got pulled, and had a right bollocking from the manager and the coach, Walter and Graham, and don't ever come back in a car next time. It was just, so I said, look, just why don't you just sell me and get on with it? I said, because, I can stay here for another 3 years. I've got a 3-year contract.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to do that. I'm not there to take Rangers Football Club's money. I wanted to play.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had a meeting with Graham, and he went, okay. I said, look, Gaffer, let me come in and train with the reserves or the youth team. At least it's getting me fit, and people will buy me. He went, yes. And by the time I got home, Walter had rung my wife and said, no, you're coming in at 6 o'clock. Unbelievable. Jeez, oh, unbelievable.
How did the fans react to that? Because obviously you would have been a popular player for Rangers at that time, you know?
But listen, it is what it is, Scott. You know, it's Rangers Football Club are bigger than any players.
Yeah. So,
and it always will be. The badge will always be bigger. The club will always be bigger.
Yeah.
You know, so it was for the best that, you know, I got another club, and all of a sudden Chelsea met what Rangers were asking for, and I went down to Chelsea and signed for them.
How did the Spurs fans and the Chelsea fans react to you joining Spurs? I don't imagine you've been popular.
Spurs fans not happy, but it wasn't as bad as what it is now.
Yeah.
But Spurs fans were, you know, I don't know. I never really asked them. I went to Chelsea. I remember going into Chelsea. I signed the contract, and Ken Bates and Bobby Campbell went to their office to register it. And the tea lady came in, and he'd asked her to bring me a sandwich and a cup of tea. And the first thing she said, "We don't want any you yids here."
Oh, no.
I said, "Well, you should have told me that before I signed the contract." Oh, that was a good start, wasn't it? Oh, dear. But listen, I did all right for Chelsea. We got promoted. I scored, I think, 20 goals that season, 22 goals that season, you know, from centre-half. So, what wow. Bad. I scored a lot of penalties, but you still got to score them.
All right. Rangers can't score penalties nowadays.
No. Well, I scored 17 in one season. So, I think it was where Gordon Jury kept diving over in the penalty area.
Fantastic. So you represented England as well on 6 occasions, Graham. How proud was that for you to put on the shirt of your country?
Listen, whenever you like, you get picked for your country, you know, I'm sure the Scottish lads will say Drant and all them when they play for Scotland, McCoist. You know, it's a great honour.
Yeah.
Yes, it was fantastic for me. It was a sorry ending for that because I ruptured my appendicitis in Brazil. And I nearly died. That was in 83, I think, 83, 84. I think it was 84 when we won the UEFA Cup. And John Byrne scored that wonder goal in Brazil. But I was supposed to play in that game, and the night before I had a ruptured appendicitis on the training pitch. So I never played after that. So that was a bit of a sad note. But listen, coming from Weymouth in 4 years and getting 6 England caps, lots of trophies, and then going to Rangers, you know, don't get any better.
Yeah. Before we kind of finish up, we need to talk about that game where you were in charge of Clyde.
Yes.
And obviously it was a certain Mr. Keane's debut for Celtic that day, and your Clyde famously knocked him out the cup, which I remember watching, I remember laughing. It was kind of a good day for a Rangers sport as well, and the fact that there was a Rangers legend in charge of it, I think, made it a bit sweeter.
I stopped him winning the treble, so that was a good thing. But if you remember, when I was manager at Clyde, I think it was in September, October, we played Rangers in the League Cup.
Yeah.
We were 2-1 up. We were 1-0 down. Half time, everybody thought we would get beat 10-11, but we had a good side, we had a decent side, and we went 2-1 up. We scored a penalty, went 2-1 up. But Alex had made a few changes. He put Barry Ferguson on the bench, and I looked at Alex, and Alex was getting a bit panicky.
Yeah,
and I did mean to, but I shouted out, "Get Barry on, Alex."
Once a Ranger, always a Ranger.
Anyway, he put Barry on, and Barry changed the, I think within 5 minutes, it was like, it went into extra time. He got the equaliser, and they went on, and we were a bit tired in the set, like extra time. We lost 5-2. But then sort of we got towards Christmas, and we were still in the cup, and then we went to, just after Christmas, we were playing in Ross County, and it was the day of the draw for the FA Cup, for the Scottish Cup. And I was doing, we won 3-1 up there. I think we were second in the league, actually, second or third in the league. And I went out to do my, I had a little kit man up there called Jimmy. And we went out and done the like TV interview. And all of a sudden, it was a big cheer. So the report's gone, oh, what's happening there? I said, well, we've either got Rangers in the cup or we've got Celtic. I said, hopefully it'll be Celtic. So I said, we've already played Rangers. So for the club, it was brilliant. And we got Celtic. And for the next 3 weeks before we played them, I'd gone to 3-4 games, watched them.
Yeah.
As much as I didn't want to beat Rangers, which I did as a manager, but
yeah.
I wasn't, you know, it didn't hurt me if we lost.
Yeah.
I wanted to beat Celtic. Yeah. I really, really wanted to beat them. And I put all my efforts into that. And I remember going to games and watching them. And the last game I watched them was a week before we played them. They were at Hearts. And I'm sat with the kit man, Jimmy, and we're in the director's box. And on the way to the game, all these Celtic fans were shouting out, oh, we can't wait to stuff you next week, 10, 11.
Yeah.
I said, well, make it 20. It'd be good for TV. It's live on TV. So they were all giving me stick. Anyway, we're in the director's box and the kit man said to me, don't do anything stupid. I said, well, I'm not doing anything stupid. So we're sitting there and we're having a chat and I said, Petrov is a brilliant player.
Yeah.
When he plays well, Celtic play well. And he was making forward runs and he was getting behind the Hearts team and he was making tick. He was brilliant on the day. I said, God, we'd have to stop him. I said, God, I wish he'd get injured. And next minute, he made this run and pulled his hamstring. And I jumped up in the director's box, giving it, yes, get in there. And the kit man was telling me to sit down. I said, oh, bugger off. So, anyway, I knew Roy Keane would be playing. They had Neil Lennon in midfield, John Hartson up front, you know, and they did, the lad DeWay, who came over from, was it from China, was it, China. Or somewhere? You know, he was playing his debut. But we planned all week how we were going to play him.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody ever says to me, oh, Celtic were unlucky that day, yeah, they were unlucky not to get beat 5.
Yeah.
Because we beat them 2-1, we had three goals disallowed. We hit the bar 3 times. So you know, we absolutely pulverized them that day. Nobody could ever take that away. In management, it's my greatest day ever.
Yeah.
And it stopped them getting the treble, and that made it even better for all my Rangers mates. So
yeah,
it was a great day.
Bringing it up to kind of present day, Graham, before we finish up, how would you assess the progress Rangers have made under Steven Gerrard and how would you assess him himself as a manager?
Yeah, I think he's done really well. The one thing, he will be disappointed more than anybody.
Yep.
You know, because if you look at them, they play Braga.
What a game. What a night.
Brilliant. Home and away.
What a night.
They were away from home, they were fantastic.
Yeah.
And then they come back and lose to Hearts.
Uh-huh.
That can't happen. You can't put a performance, and that's what Stephen will be hurting Stephen inside him. You know, because that sort of performance, they've done that every week, and that's where we did when I joined, and we had that consistency.
Yeah.
Like at the moment, you get a cup game for Rangers, 2 cup games against Braga, play really well. And then you get 2 sloppy games against Hearts and, you know, and whatever. And that can't happen. You know, you have to be ready for every game. And yeah. I think that's what's hurting him more than anything. But he will get it right. You know, he's another person. He's another Graham Souness.
Yeah.
He's a winner. He's a winner. Yep. He wants to win things. And he will get it right. As long as the club back him and the chairman back him and the club, and the supporters stick with him, because he will get it right.
Yeah, I think you can see the Rangers start to look a wee bit more like a football club that we recognise it when Steven Gerrard come in the door.
Well, you've got your shirt sponsorship back. You can sell your own shirts. Yep. You haven't got Mike Ashley there. So, yeah, it's back now. So, good.
Graham, one thing I've just got left to say is just to thank you for your efforts when you were involved at Rangers, because I think I speak for majority of fans when we say that players that are committed to the jersey like that, they get taken to their hearts a wee bit quicker and stick there a wee bit longer than the rest. So thank you very much, and thanks very much for your time today.
No, a pleasure, Scott, and I'll be back and watch lots of other games. I'm not sure I can be conducting anymore, but I'll be in heart, I'll be there. When I'll be in the stand conducting next time.
Listen, you can come sit next to us any day. Thanks, Bill.
Cheers. Nice seeing you.
Thanks, bye.